good to be back with you folks. Since I last saw you, a lot of things have happened in my life, but I'll just bring it up to date. The last two Saturdays have been really good in their own way and really quite different. Not Saturday there, but last Saturday, I was invited as the longest serving minister of Heaton Baptist Church to be at the induction of the new minister for Heaton Baptist Church, a guy called the Reverend Dave Tubby. Now, see, you must have had a hard time at school. Eh? Dave Tubby. Anyway, and I found out that he's the same age as I was when I went there in 1980. He says, I've heard a lot about you. I said, what, was it good? Or was it bad? What was it? I said, because I was here 38 years ago. I mean, it's incredible. You think, what, 38 years? Anyway, it was really good to welcome him and be part of the welcoming group. And a lot of folk from his past church, if you like, came up and joined the service now. It was really good. It really was. Yeah. And it was a joy to see people I've known from my time there, you know. Yeah. They're obviously gathered a few years and so on like that. And some introduced their children to me. And the children are married. You know, I mean, it's just like the years go on. That was a week on Saturday. Yesterday, I was at a wonderful service of thanksgiving for the life of this friend of ours that died maybe 3 weeks ago. She was cremated round about that time, but they didn't have the service yesterday until people came from all over the world. It was really something else. And Lord, I've been to many services of thanksgiving, and someday, maybe somebody will have one for me, I don't know. Anyway, it was quite different, because when we got the order of service, you know, as you call it, the lady's picture was in the front, all surrounded by butterflies, because she was a great butterfly collector and admirer and all that kind of stuff. And when you open up the inside, right, there was beautiful words said about this dear lady, and here was the kind of order of service. And what intrigued me is halfway down was the scripture reading. And it was going to be done by the lady who died. Wow. I went, must be a misprint. Must be, but it's not a misprint. Because this dear lady, I mean, she had a terrible time the last maybe 12 months with the cancer, just taking over everything, really, you know. And we went to see her just before she died and so on. She was just emaciated. Just, you know what happens, the flesh just disappears. And just a fraction of the person that we knew. It was a real character, over the top, extravagant. She just was, when she worshipped, everybody knew she was worshipping. She always had a big hat on, and her hands were always going, and she had her own sign language. It didn't mean a thing to anybody else, but she had her own sign language, saying things to God and all. It was amazing. Anyway, I thought, how are they going to do this? And what they had done was, this dear lady, on her deathbed, while she still had some breath in her body, she read the scriptures, and it was on a video. So they videoed her in her bedroom, yeah, propped up the pillows, and they brought the Bible to her, and very haltingly she read the scriptures. But then it said the last word from, I'll not mention the lady's name, it just said the last word from, you know, I thought, what's going to happen here? And what happened is that just before she died, an hour or so before she died, her husband took a little recorder and said to her, is there anything you would like to say to anybody who might be listening to this? And you hear very haltingly and struggling for her breath and all that kind of stuff. She says, yes. And we're all sitting, I mean, 180 people there, it's a lot of folk. And it was tremendous, it really was. It was such a sense of God and thanks to God and praised God for. So this dear lady, she says, yes, yes. There's no vision at that time. It was just the sound. So his husband says, what do you want to say? He could hardly make it out. I'm thinking, oh, she's just tell people they should love Jesus and praise God. Praise God. And she just disappeared. And you could just imagine all sitting there. I mean, we're all of a particular age, and you've been at a few funerals, but I thought, wow. Two Saturdays, what a contrast. Here's the beginning of a whole new ministry. Here's this man, he's moved the same age as me, 40. He's moved with his family, his two boys and girls, and he's just starting off, and he's exciting, it's like thrilling, and all the people are commending him to the Lord and so on. Here's this dear lady here. She's literally saying, if you don't know Jesus, you've missed your whole thing in your life. And it's really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Right, so I'll carry on to a wee message. Well, let me just read a wee scripture, and I'll tell you something I'm going to speak about. This is from Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and I'm reading from 25 forward. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart too." Okay? Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. There's lots of things that lead me around to, like, how do I get to speak? I preach about 3 or 4 Sundays of a month, and so I'm always seeking to find inspiration. Well, I don't want to just repeat or whatever. I want to find some, see? So what happened this past week, I was up in Scotland. One night in the caravan, I had a dream. And it was really so powerful. I thought, goodness sake, I've not had a dream like that for a long while. Some dreams, as you know, they just disappear. Other ones, you wake up and you go, oh, goodness sake, what was all that about, see? And that led me thinking about that, the effect it can have on me personally. It took me to think about somebody else. Now, if I were to say to you, just use your thinking caps, okay? If I were to say to you, what comes to your mind when I give this man's name? What comes to your mind when I give you this man's name? And the man's name was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm sure if I'm around, they'll all have something to say about this guy, because he really made a right impact. He really did in his time, yeah? I don't know if you know, it's 50 years ago since he was assassinated, the 4th of April 1968, right? But anyway, I'm sure come to me, but this guy, he was a Baptist minister. And that gives him a good background for a start. You know, he was a Baptist minister. Yeah. There's a guy who obviously went to this wee church to begin with, and it built up to something else, because he was a great speaker. He was a terrific orator, if you like, and could he handle the words and really communicate, etc., etc. But you probably think, not only was he a Baptist minister, but he was a civil rights activist. He promoted all sorts of civil rights marches and everything, etc., etc., yeah, trying to do something about the inequality that was obviously there between blacks and whites. And you probably know, he's famous, if you like, for "I have a dream." Yeah, "I have a dream." And I went on to Google and had a look at it, and you can go back and see it on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. It's something else. And sometimes, "I have a dream," what he said is misquoted. And I'm just going to quote just a wee bit of it, okay? He says, "I have a dream that my 4 children one day will live in a nation that is not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of the heart." Okay, and then it goes on, "I have a dream that one day the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the young and old will live together and work together without fear and without favour." That's all that kind of stuff. And it's really great, it really is, okay? But you know, if you've no end about the guy, remember, that whole dream, the whole focus of that just changed the whole of his life. Yeah. It stopped being just like a Baptist minister in a church. Became a national figure. It was used all sorts of ways, national and international, yeah? And the reality, it was because of that dream and, you know, elaborating on that dream again and again and again, some guy picked up a rifle and just put a bullet right through him. Assassinated, 4th of April 1968. And it's really quite remarkable, because other things were important, but that became the most important thing. The dream that he had and sought to elaborate again and again just took over his whole life. Became known as the man, "I have a dream," yeah, okay. Now the reality is, you and I dream, I've said that a minute ago, but I wonder if you've ever had a dream that is in within it, either you wake up or in the dream, you've got such a desire to see that dream being fulfilled, yeah. I wonder if you've had that, because it's a powerful thing to have that. And if I go on from that, I say, have you ever had a dream that one day you would love to see Jesus, love to talk to Jesus, you like to embrace Jesus, you like to know that you're in a deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Now, if I say to you, have you ever had that, you might go, yes, I've had a dream like that, okay? But I wonder, what does that dream do for you, an individual? See, if an individual has got that kind of dream and desire, I want to see the Lord. I want to see him high and lifted up. I want to hold him. I want to embrace him. I want to do all that kind of wonderful stuff. Does that not mean that will affect their words and their thoughts and their actions, etc., etc.? Is that not the case? If you've got such a dream and such a desire, it's going to impact your life. It really is. So that means then that somebody who's got that kind of dream, some that kind of desire to see the Lord, to be with the Lord in that very personal way, just cannot go about doing their own thing regarding God and regarding the Word of God. Because there are certain things that are going to be in his life or her life, and some things are not going to be there. Okay? And that leads me into Simeon, this guy here. Because we read about Simeon, you can see that way. It says of him, he was righteous and he was devout. And there's no doubt about it. This man is something else. Now, the other thing about it is that he was marked very clearly by the scholars. The scholars say of this guy, he was one of the Hasidim. Those men or women, if you like, who were of a particular breed, if you like, were set apart for the worship and the service of the living God. And things about that man were marked out. Our dear sister mentioned John 3:16. And I remember years ago learning that for the first time. But I remember also a guy in the fellowship said to me, one thing you might find, Jim, is that some books of the Bible have got a 3:16 of their own. And so I would encourage you to go through the Bible, the whole 66 books, and look up chapter 3 and verse 16, because you'll find pearls of wisdom, you'll find blessing, you'll find all sorts of things like that. Now that come back to my mind again when I was thinking about this message, thinking about Simeon. Because if you go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it's got four things it says about a guy like this. And this is what it says, four particular points in Malachi 3:16. It speaks about those who fear the Lord. Second, those who think about his name. His name is constant in their mind. And it also speaks about those who speak to others about the Lord. And it also goes on to four things. It refers to those whose name is in the book of remembrance. And every one of these are true about this guy called Simeon. That's why they call him a guy set apart, there's no doubt about it. Because he was one who feared the Lord. He walked in righteousness before God. And that's a sign of fearing God. Not a cringing, kind of cowardly fear, no, but a recognized reverential fear. He loved the Lord. He talked to us all the time about the Lord. He spoke to others about the Lord, and his name is written in the book of life. And what you see when you go down through this wee passage, because you've only got a few lines about this man, you actually find this guy who described as being righteous and devout. You'll see that in verse 25, he's a man of prayer. You see in verse 29, he's a man of praise. You see in verse 34, 35, he's a man of prophecy. Now, each of these characteristics are there in this man's life, as you might expect them to be. Because this man sought to bring his whole life in obedience to the Word of God and to lead and guide in the Holy Spirit, as you might imagine that to be the case. And if you and I have such a desire to like this man, to walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and be with the Lord, there will be certain characteristics about our life, things that will be in our life, and there will be other characteristics that's not in our life. Isn't that right? So when we look at this guy, Simeon, here, you find quite amazing things about this man. And I'll just pick two of them. He was a man who had a dream. Mm-hmm. And the dream was that one day he would see the consolation of Israel. He would see the Messiah. He would see the Redeemer. He would see the Savior. He had that dream. And that dream was before him. And every day, I'm sure, every day that guy would wake up and say, maybe it's going to be today. Maybe it's going to be today I'll see the Lord. I'll see the Messiah. I'll see the Redeemer. I'll see the consolation of Israel. And a wonderful thing you can read for this here, he had that dream based on the fact that he loved the Word of God, because these guys who are set apart were renowned for their love of the Word of God. Okay? He loved the Word of God. He would read the Word of God constantly, again and again and again. Yeah? Okay. And the truth is this, when you read it too, he also not only had a dream, but he had received a promise from God. And that was in the form of a revelation. The word revelation comes from the Greek apokalypsis, and it means an unveiling. It means drawing back the veil of time that you might see beyond the normal and the natural. And this man had that promise that he would not die before he saw Jesus, before he saw the Messiah, before the consolation of Israel. Now that is an incredible promise. And because it was a promise that came from God, guess what? It will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Now I've said to you before, and I spoke it to this guy a week and Saturday ago. So when I went to Heaton Baptist Church in 1980, I knew nothing about Newcastle, I knew nothing about that church, etc. But I travelled 153 miles from Gonish, Scotland, all the way down the motorway, 153 miles right through into Heaton, etc., etc. Yeah? And I've said to you before, when I got there after the induction, the place was packed out with hundreds of people at the induction, as it was the other Saturday. But after the induction, and then came the first Sunday, the second Sunday, I thought, where's all the people? Where's all the people? And I discovered the church could seat 700 plus, and the morning was 80, and the night was 40. That's okay, that's a reasonable congregation, I suppose, in today's context, yeah? Yes. And I thought, well, that's good. And then somebody actually said to me, because some of the people in Heaton Baptist Church used to almost pin me against the wall, what are you going to do about this, and what about this, and what, you know, all these kind of things that people are kind to their ministers, you know, that kind of way, you know? They just think you've got all the answers, they're going to do it tomorrow, not to, you see? So they said, what do you think God has brought you here for, Jim? Again and again, even in the street, I used to bump into some of the church members and say, Jim, what do you think the reason God has brought you away down? I mean, you're a Scotsman, you know. Was there no vacant churches in Scotland? I said, yeah, 22. So what are you doing down here? I says, well, God led me down here. Why? Why? I didn't have an answer to that at the time. I was just going to be a nice minister. I was 40 years of age. Life begins at 40. I just came out of the Baptist College. Here I am, folks. And you really should love me because I'm God's gift to you. You really should, you know. But they didn't appreciate that. I say that every week, I think, for a long while. But I'm saying to you, that's what began to get into me. I thought, well, what am I doing here? I didn't know they'd interviewed 24 people before me. How can you interview 24 people and not find one that's the right guy? And somebody in desperation said, but we haven't tried Scotland yet. They said, oh no, has it come to this? Has it come to this? We're going to go to Scotland, right? I'm just telling you, because this is what I got all relayed to me. He said, so what did you sense, Jim, that the Lord brought you here for? I said, well, where am I going to get the answer to that? You've got to go to God, haven't you?
Yes.
And they that wait upon the Lord, you'll get answers. You really do. And I've told you, and I don't want to go back through the whole story, but I decided morning, noon and night, even during the night when I couldn't sleep, I used to go to bed and think, Lord, are you going to speak to me, please? I mean, what have I come all this way for? I mean, they like me and I like them, but I mean, is that it? I've just to like them. And so I kept praying morning, noon and night. And many times I would go down to church during the night and just open the door and go, don't put the lights on, because I knew my place where I could walk about. And I used to stand at the communion table level and just go, Lord, what am I doing here? I got up to the galley and walked around the whole gallery, right around the whole building like that. I was sitting this seat and that seat and that seat, come down the stair and go here, there, and everywhere. I said, oh, Lord, you need to speak to me. You really do. I don't mind. I'm here to preach the word of God. I'll do that. I'm here to minister to people. I'm here to hold people's hands. I'm to do. I can do all that. But is there one overall purpose in being here? And that's where that revelation came from. I stood there, again and again, just crying, and all of a sudden, poof, on came the television. Big colour television. And I saw the whole place packed. The whole place packed, downstairs and upstairs. And the phrase, wall to wall people. Wall to wall people. And I was, I'd never seen that in my life before. I'm saying, what does that mean? So I went to a different message. What would it mean in here if there was wall-to-wall people? How many is that? And the caretaker says 700. I say, 700 people? Yeah, yeah. Because we did national assemblies and they all came and saw news. Whew. So what do? You go and share your leadership, don't you?
Yes.
You want them all getting bored and support you and we're all going to work together, you know? So I went into the elders and deacons meeting, 14 people sitting there. And they say, so how's things, Jim, are you? How are you here in Florida? I said, well, I think I have, yes. Yes, I'd like to share it with you. Now, wouldn't you imagine if I said to them, the Lord is going to bring up to 700 people in this church. We're going to be magnifying the Lord. The money will be built up. We'll send the money all over the place. We'll send out missionaries, evangelists. You could just imagine going, yes, yes, wonderful, Jim, fantastic. Dead silence. Sat and looked at me. And I went, anybody like to see anything? And he said, do you think that's true? I said, well, yes. When do you think that's going to happen? I said, I hope it's no next week. He says, why? I said, because I come in the front door and out the back door. Yeah. Some of you who in your lifetime have been parents and things. And I remember when Kathy and I decided all those 100 years ago, come, we'll try and have a baby. And I was so glad it didn't arrive next day. Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
Because you need preparation. You need definitely preparing for this wee creature who's going to come and change your life forever and ever. Amen. Never going to be the same again. So that's how I likened it. I said, no, it won't happen next week. So a year, maybe two. I don't know. I said, I haven't got a timetable. I haven't. So I'm just saying that to you because when God gives you a revelation, and this guy got a revelation, yeah? Revelation for the Holy Spirit, yeah? You will not die until you see the Christ of God, okay? Now that must have been amazing to this guy, right? He's got a dream. One day I'm going to see the Lord, and the Lord said, and you're not going to die until you see him, okay? I mean, put these two things together. I mean, what must that do to this man who's filled with the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, listens to the Holy Spirit? It must be something that's buoying this man up, yeah? And I thank God I saw this taking place again and again until we arrived up 700 people in that church. And one of the deacons was a keen photographer. He took photographs every service that we had. There was more and more and more people. And you can just imagine the offerings. They were going through the roof. The treasurer came and says, do you have any idea what the offerings are? There's such and so many thousands we are collecting. And what should we do? I said, get away. Give away. So we did this, we did that, we bought a bus, we did all sorts of stuff and sent people away in courses. We paid for this. Because you could do that. Yeah. Because the ministry went in every direction at one time. And that was because of revelation. When God gives a revelation, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Now you can put that to the test. You can. So I said, can I test this in some way? I mean, if you say, Tony, you accept this vision is from God, what's the basis you've got in saying that? And when I put that to this group of leaders, I know what they said. Because God said that in 1975. And here's me in 1982, thereabouts, 1981. I said, what? Yeah. And the rest of them said, what do you mean by that? Well, you were here in 1975, and so were you. So, do you remember the bunch of Americans that we brought over? We did an exchange and all that kind of stuff. Aye, that's right. So what did that, the guy that we had, the American preacher, his last night, as he was up in the pulpit, preaching his last message, what did he finish up by saying? And he went, help me. He says, if I'm ever invited back here again, it'll be to see wall-to-wall people. I said, that said 1975. Yeah. Here's me in 1982. I never knew anybody, obviously. And then the guy says, that was said the previous... and he twice they quoted where that was said. So I said, so what have you guys been doing all this time? You know how you like to put it back in somebody else's court. But what I'm saying to you is this. The confirmation from three times, by the Holy Spirit and two things and one in me. I said, well, it's going to happen. I said, so we better start thinking about it. What are we going to do about it? You know? And I said, thank God it doesn't happen next week. Because you've got to build a structure. You've got to build this. You've got to build the next thing to accommodate all that. And just recognize I don't have all the gifts, although it maybe looks as though I've got all that, but I've not really. And I used to convince the people, well, I need to use your gift as well. You're a nice looking guy. You come and help me. And so on. So you had to build up this. I'm saying that because this man here, what did he think about day after day when he went to the temple courts? Is it today I'm going to see the Lord? Is it today? Because as soon as I see the Lord, I can go home. I can go home. He's an old guy. You know, he's older than any one of us here. The scholars say this man was approximately 113 years old. So I saw a few things in his life, yeah. And he must have been waiting. Is it today? Is it going to be next week? we'll be next week again. And you can just imagine him saying, going home, and his friends are all saying, was it today? No, I never saw the Messiah today, you know. Oh, don't worry, it'll happen. It'll be okay, you know, old man, you know, or whatever. But the reality is, here is this man having this dream and having this revelation for how many years? Now, we don't know how many years he had it. We don't know. But whatever you can say about him, he's still got it. At 113 years of age, he's still a believer, and he's still believing. He's still got this hope. Next week, tomorrow, I'm going to see the Saviour, right? Because he had this revelation from God, this apocalypse, right? The unveiling of God. God revealed what the future was going to be like for him, after which he could die. And the sad thing that just strikes me, we've got free newspapers down at Whitley Bay that come in through the door and all that. And again and again and again, I've seen a quarter of a page given to this guy who's inviting people to come for psychic readings. Psychic reading. I will tell you your future. I will tell you if you're going to win the lottery. I will tell you what job you can have. I'll tell you what partner in life you can have. I'll tell you what your health is going to be like in the next 2 months or whatever. And you say, well, a load of rubbish. And yet people listen to that, and he's taking over different places to hold these psychic readings and all that kind of stuff. Right? Now, why do people do that? Why do they go to horoscopes? Yeah, why do they go to tarot cards? Why do they do all that? Because they want to have a revelation. They want to see what the future's going to be. Yeah. And the sad thing about it, because God is not figuring in their plans and purposes on any regular basis, they'll go to everybody, Tom, Dick and Harry, anybody that promises, I'll give you an answer to that. The sad thing about it, they don't go to the Lord God Almighty, who holds yesterday, today and forever in the hold of his hand. They just don't do it. And that's the sad thing about it. And that's people we mix and mingle with. Anyway, let's get back to Simeon, verse 27. It says to Simeon, you've got the man with the dream, the man with the promise. It says, look at verse 27. It says, moved, right? Moved by the Spirit. Have a look at yourself. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Let me just take that in a different way. Moved, motivated, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he went to church. He went to church. The temple courts where the believers met, etc., etc. So this time let's put it that way. Moved, motivated, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went to church.
Yeah.
And I just read that, I read that, and I've read that again and again and again this last few days. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could, and our many other thousands of people could say, I go to church because I'm moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What a change it would be to some services. Some services are just, I don't know, I'm not trying to knock anybody. Some people just do their best, I suppose. But to be motivated, inspired by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to church.
Yes.
What a difference that would make, not only to the individual, not only to the service, but to the people they meet and mingle with. How did you, the church was fantastic this morning. You have no idea. The Holy Spirit in me, and you could describe it, motivated, inspired, lifted up. Because see, when you're moved and motivated by the Holy Spirit and you're going to church, you've got an expectation.
Amen.
There's an expectation. Hey, God's in front of me. You know, I'm going to enter into the presence of God in a real powerful way. So the worship be different. And I'm not knocking anybody, yeah? I've been someplace, and the worship, you just like almost take off, and like you're touching heaven, if I could use that phrase, yeah. There's something about it. When people are there, inspired and motivated by the Holy Spirit, and they've got any church, they've got an expectation, they've got a preparation, they've prepared themselves, prepared their heart, their mind, their spirit. Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and truth. I don't want to come with any familiarity. I don't want to do it, because that just breeds contempt. I want to come, Lord. I want to find it's an exciting, thrilling experience of being in your presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when God is there in power, so comes healing, comes restoration, comes renewal. You know that. I know that. You've seen it time and time again in your lifetime, as I have. With many times when the Lord just came in some of the service, nobody wanted to go home.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've told that one when God came in St. Valentine's Day. The service started 6:25. At 11:30, we're still there. Now, I understand you get stiff in your legs and all that kind of stuff. We had to lift one lady out of this. She was so bad with arthritis. We took her like straight in the leg before she could walk because she'd been stuck in that pew all that time. And I'm just saying to him, when God comes, hey, it changes everything. It just changes everything. And I was so blessed when I read this guy, motivated, inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit. He went to church. But have a look. He went to church knowing it was a divine appointment. Because he was going, is this going to be the day I'm going to see the Lord? He says, he was moved, inspired, motivated by the Holy Spirit, went to temple courts when the parents come in with Jesus. So God is the one who brings the right and the left and brings them together. So there was Simeon, motivated by the Holy Spirit. Go to church today. Get to church, Simeon. Get up and get ready and go, 113-year-old man. Get yourself down to church today because, you know what, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see. Here's a divine appointment. And I'm sure you've had these before. You must have had these kind of things. When God just brings things together and you go, wow. Oh, wow, this is something else, yeah? And that's exactly what happened with this man. So he goes in there, and he sees Jesus, yeah? Now, was he expecting a fully grown man? Now, how could he, in the midst of hundreds of other people, the priests in there, yeah? There's rabbis in there. There's court officials in there. There's individuals in there. There's other parents coming, bringing their baby to get circumcised, etc., etc. So how could he possibly, in the midst of all that, here's Jesus? Now how does that happen? Eh? Because there's nobody else recorded as saying, yeah, hey Mary, that's Jesus you're holding. There's none of that at all. So is he the only one that was in that meeting that day that was moved and motivated by the Holy Spirit? Well, was there because of familiarity? Was there because it was a ceremony? Was it there because I'm going to support my wee auntie, she's taking a newborn baby? And you know what I mean? You can just see how ridiculous things can be. People go to church because of what? What? And Kathy and I have talked about that many times because we've been all different parts of the world. Sometimes it's so exciting. You're on your tippy toes. Do you know that tippy toes thing? It's something, it's an excitement thing. It's very vibrating through your body. And you say, I don't want to go out. I don't want to be. The first time I went to a John Wimber meeting, away down in like Haringey or something. I travel from Newcastle, away down there. It's the other end of the world, you know. But it's a John Wimber meeting. And you remember the days of John Wimber, don't you? And I remember going to these meetings, and it was electric. I mean, what else? It was electric. And Kathy, I phoned her up. We didn't have a mobile phone in those days, so I had to go and get a telephone. I phoned her. She says, how are you doing? I says, Kathy, I've been to the mountain. I was in tears. I was crying my eyes. I said, Kathy, I've been to the mountain, and I've seen the Lord, and I don't want to miss anything. Are you going to come back again? I said, well, if I can. And away I went. And it was electric. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And, well, this is Simeon. He'd been waiting all his life, 113 years. And this is it. This is it. Yeah. And it goes over. I mean, come on. I don't know how you describe all this. Yeah. I remember the first time I held my wee sons and I held my wee daughter, this wee baby. And you'd say, oh, beautiful. And you're kissing all. You know, it's fantastic. Well, here's this man. All his life we've been waiting. Yeah. Jesus had a baby. And he took him out of Mary's arms and embraced him. He said, oh, Lord, let me depart now. I'm ready to go. I have seen your salvation. It's going to be a light to the Gentiles and glory to your people. I said, oh Lord, just beam me up. Beam me up. You know the start to next. So beam me up. I'm ready to go, Lord. I'm ready to go. And Mary and Joseph standing going, And they marveled what he said and what Anna said that follow on. You know, it's remarkable when you just look at this. How could he, the only man in front of all this crowd of people, identify, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. I just looked at this and thought, my goodness me. And the reality is, if I've just finished with this, look what he says in verse 29. Verse 29, he says, Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. See that word, peace and dismiss? It's really quite a special word. Peace means, he's talking about he's in harmony. I want to depart from this in harmony with you. That also means reconciled to God. I want to know, Lord, I'm totally reconciled to you. I've got no fear. Death does not hold anything for me. I'm ready to go. Let me just go in peace, Lord. He says, let me go with rest and contentment in my heart. And the reason I told you about that lady yesterday, kind of tested me through a video on her deathbed. I mean, her peace. I mean, the woman was racked with You know, she's on the pill driver. You know, the morphine thing, and it just numbs them right down. You know the idea? But, oh, was she praising God? Yeah. And I'm sitting with Kathy holding her, and I said, oh, God, what? Okay, that's wonderful. And you can just imagine, there's her husband, there's her two daughters, and there's their husband, and there's the grandchildren, and here's all these friends, and she worked in the council, and he worked in the council, and all these officials were all there to give thanks for this woman's life, because that's all. But well, what they heard, I wonder how many of them said, imagine speaking to people for your deathbed and saying, you should believe in Jesus. I mean, really? You know, have you ever been to a service like that? I said to Cathy, get me one of them. That'll do. Get me one of them. I'll have one of them. You see? I said, but no, they knew. Mate to the Lord, tell them where to go. Now, the word dismiss, it can mean this, to leave that which is not of God. It can also mean to be released from anything which is a barrier to knowing God. It means to untie, it means to take down, it means to unyoke. So he's saying, Lord, I'm ready to go right now. There's no hang-ups. There are no second thoughts. Take me. Maybe he never went home. No, that way. You know what I mean? You can hardly imagine this. And this is one day going to church. One day going to church. Yes. This dear man here, yeah? And by faith. Amen. See, he was waiting for the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was there. And he saw Jesus. He had all that. But we are living in the fruits of the first advent. Is that right?
Yeah.
But are we waiting for the second? Because if the desire is there and the hope is there, yeah, you're going to see the second. You're going to see him when he comes. Because when he comes, we'll see him as he is. Yes. And we will be with him forever and ever. Amen. And all that. And in that context of meeting the Lord in the air, yeah, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means we'll experience something of the joy, the thrill, the excitement that Simon felt. Oh, that's amazing, Tati. I get carried away a wee bit. It doesn't matter. You go and get excited about it, for goodness sake, you know. But tell me the last time you went to churches and heard people preaching in the second coming. Do you know this? We were talking to this wee group of people. That there's five of us couples. And one time, this person from another group just came over, sitting talking, and one of our wee group, she loves to talk about the second coming. So she does. And she's good at doing the fine art, all sorts of stuff, you know. And this other person just says, she's, what are you talking about, if you don't mind me asking? I was just talking about the second coming of Jesus. What's that? He says, would you say you're a believer? Oh, yes. Oh, I've been a part of that Methodist church since I was a child. And you've never heard the second coming? No, what is that? Do you know what the first coming?
Yeah.
Is that to do with Christmas? I think I've heard about that. And you just go, for goodness sake, what are they teaching in these churches if they're teaching anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know yourself, the second coming is coming.
Yes.
It's coming. Yeah. And absolutely, you know, I once had a dream in Heaton, because the different excitement, all the crowds. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? This is me in the pulpit. Lord, I'd love to be preaching your word, and you go, come home, Jim. Leave a pair of shoes behind, or whatever it is, in the jacket, the whole lot. They'll go, where's Jim? Where is he now? Because I used to hide all over the place. Right? He's off. He's off to me. I mean, oh, this, I'm just saying, look at this thing here. This old guy, 113 years, he says, Lord, just beam me up right now. I'm ready to go home. I don't have to go home and wash the dishes or nothing. I'm going home. I'm just ready to go. I came to church today expecting, and I've not been disappointed. My dream has been realized, and my promise now, Lord, fulfill your promise and let me depart and do in peace. In total harmony with you, your plan and purpose of your life. And so, dear brother and sister, have a read at these things. Take your time, read about him and read about Anna, which follows on from that. And I pray, God, we could say, Lord, I want to be like this guy. I want to be moved and inspired, motivated by the Holy Spirit to come together in the one place at the one time. The familiarity, get it out the door. It's got no place, yeah? So that you can come expecting and prepared for this, that, the next time. Because when you do, you'll never be disappointed. And Father God, we do thank you for your word. Your word is exciting, Lord. It's so real when you read the guys like Simeon, who all his life this man has sought to follow you, be led by your word, led by your spirit. And here he is. motivated, inspired, moved by the Spirit, goes into church and he sees the Lord. Oh, what a blessing that is. We pray, Father God, these kind of things can be part of our life as well. Any sense of familiarity or just things breeding contempt or getting so used to things, Lord, can we push them aside? Just push them aside. Let the reality of Jesus being our Saviour, the presence, the power of God being a reality in our life, we could seek from you then. It's whether it's healing, a restoration, or deliverance, or renewal, whatever it is, we can come in expectant, prepared to worship you in spirit and in truth, to bring praise to your precious name, that you might magnify the Son of God through us. Hear us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.